to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends? Welcome in. It's ITL on Sports Grid In This League with your dynamic duo. That is Scott Bogman, who has an incredible college betting record, by the way. Let's talk about that. I am the Welsh. I had a perfect Monday. If you've listened to podcasts, you've heard it a million times. I had a perfect betting Monday.
How was Sunday? Was Sunday good?
Wasn't great.
Come on, you're supposed to do Maguire. I set you up in everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're here to talk about, we're not here to talk about the past. We're here to talk about the future. Player props might be my lane, Bogman.
Player props are fun, dude.
But they also might be my lane, not just that they're fun.
Well, as a fantasy guy, they should be our lane.
They should be our lane, 100% right. Yeah. Actually, so much so, by the way, Bogman knows this. I have created like a full-on prop bet cheat sheet that I'm going to monitor this week and maybe even make it a part of our Patreon in the future. Here's a little tip or tip. Week one straight line bets didn't go so well. Yeah. Ugly for me, bad for Bogman. We're moving on to week two. But like I said, Bogman, well, we talk about this in the next segment. Fantastic college betting record so far. And my player props, like I said, I had an absolute perfect Monday, which was aligned by player props across the board. I mean, I had a straight bet on, I can't remember what my straight line bet was that I hit. But my player props are what paid out crazy on Monday. And we are going to be talking about a lot of that today. We are going to be going through the entire week two slate of games. And there's zero chance I can be worse than I was last week. And Bogman will be better as well. We're going to go through all those.
We learned so much week one, you know.
Well, I mean, week one was like wild as well. I want to say, wasn't it like 11-4 were the dogs?
Dogs
were 11-4.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised. And that was also my record last year, 11-4 week one, about the opposite this year.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah,
it's always screwy.
My boy Chad, who's hanging in here, reminded me I had the over in Baltimore and Las Vegas. That was my only straight line bet. Everything else was props that played. But we're going to talk about all that. A lot of gambling. Some DFS is in line. Football week. And could an NFL coach after his first game have a new destination? God, we all can hope. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Full slate. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
In This League is on Patreon at patreon.com/ITL Army. You can be hanging out with us as we're doing this show. Yeah, that's right. We got a live room. It's not live to the public, but it is live to some of our Patreon people. When we do the show, if they wanted to hang out, they wanted to talk about stuff and things, they want to interact while we do the show. But more than anything else, we've got a gajillion other ways for you to have fun in the fantasy world. DFS contest, GroupMe rooms to hang out, access to us, ranks. Bogman's got his weekly football ranks up there. And tons more. If you dig us and you want to just be like a little part of our audio universe, that is the fantasy audio universe that is In This League, come and check us out. Patreon.com/ITL Army. $5 will get you in for a lot of the things and not too much more to hang out. And we would love to have you, and you're supporting us when you do it. So patreon.com/ITL Army. Boggs, people know I'm, you know, dipping my toe into the gambling because it's become legal in Arizona. So, maybe not dipping the toe. Maybe I'm straight on skinny dipping. I'm taking off my clothes and just
you're Greg Louganising right into that bitch right there.
But I'm doing good. I'm plus 500 right now. You know, I mean, on overall money, it turned a couple hundred bucks into, you know, $800 or $900 in just the early start. So that's fine. But I mean, it's part of it's a ruse, you know, they get you in with a lot of their course. Stuff.
Yeah. It's like, hey, take the over that the Arizona Cardinals will score a point.
Oh, yeah. Know? Dude, those are still going on where it's like there's two this weekend. There's just like, hey, you know,
yeah, beat them to death, dude. Yeah.
Arizona, whatever scores max bet. And I'm like, yep, I'll max bet that. So that's, of course, the thing. But, you know, it like anything else, it helps, you know, boost up the game and stuff like that. It's piqued my interest back in to college, you know, to college football. There we have so much going on, and I'm very heavily invested in minor league baseball. I only have so much to go, but the gambling side is helping a little bit of that. So what do? I go and I hit up my boy Bogman, who does college football shows, does the CFB Winning Edge. I mean, he does so much different college content while also doing a show on Fantasy Pros with Joe Pisapia on IDP, but also betting. And you have an article you write up. So the long story here is I will ask Bogman. I asked him last week. I say, all right, what do you love? Give me your stuff that you love and give me your mortal lock of the week. And last week he gave me the mortal lock, which was Houston, and it absolutely paid. And I went all in with Bogman. I was like, dude, I'm in a straight bet line. And then I played around and I went off book a little bit. And of course that burned me because I went off the Bogman book. And that hit me a little bit, but the Houston bet was money. So I asked Boggs, I'm like, who we got this week? What are we betting on? And he's like, I'll send you my article that is up on Betting Pros. And it's an impressive article. And at the top of the article, you have your record. And are you 12-5-1?
12-7-1.
12-7-1 through 2 weeks of college football.
I'm still aggravated about week one and BYU not pounding Arizona into the dirt, because Arizona got beat by San Diego State last week, just annihilated. And BYU beat Utah. So, you know, there's more screwiness in college football than there is in the NFL. Although like week one will show us there's screwiness in the NFL as well. Notre Dame has burned me twice. So I'm done with Notre Dame. You know, sometimes
One that killed me. I might've had a straight line bet or a two team parlay. And I had that on, our boys, and that
they're playing Toledo at home. They're playing Toledo at home. Now Toledo's a good team. And I picked them this week as well. So, you know, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you might get this before the Saturday games run, but, you know, if you're listening to it live on the radio, we live on the radio. I think this airs after most of these games, but that UCLA game might be going pretty soon here. But yeah, man, college football betting is fun. I think there's because there's so many games, I feel like there's more to take advantage of than there is in the NFL. And in the NFL, too, the lines are small because every team is good. Even the crappy teams are good. You know, we just saw the Texans go out and stomp the Jaguars. Nobody thought that was going to happen. It ruined a lot of people's survival weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because they were taking Jacksonville against Houston. Houston was, people were thinking they're going to go 0-17, be the first team ever, but that is clearly not going to happen. So there's much more to take advantage of in college football.
But what was impressive to me was already, like, you know, your line is really good right now, you know, and you get to put that on the article and it's impressive.
Don't curse me.
I know, be careful about that. But, you know, you and I aren't new to this stuff. We are new to just putting dollars and like really making it more formal as everything has got there. So just pointing out that if you're looking, Bogman is someone to hit up for some college bets. And I mean, I don't know if we want to say it on here, because I did ask Bogman. I said, give me your mortal lock. Give me your one lock. Should we save it? Or
no, I said it already. It's this week is UCLA against Fresno State. And yeah. Fresno State plays hard, man. They're a good team. And Ronnie Rivers is a NFL caliber running back on their squad. They've got a lot of good players, but UCLA just looks like they're on a different level right now. They just beat LSU. And I know LSU isn't, you know, Joe Burrow LSU right now. They stomped Hawaii. That line was very low to go into the year. That offensive line looks like it's playing on a professional level right now for UCLA, and they're coming off a bye week to play Fresno State. So, because they played that week zero game against Hawaii, the week one game against LSU, and then they got a bye. So, I mean, LSU, I'm all in on that minus 11 and a half. So,
UCLA, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said LSU.
Yeah. UCLA. Yeah. UCLA. I love the UCLA.
So, UCLA was your big one, and your boy Welsh, I went in. All right. I don't know what else I'm going to take.
Might be really mad at me right now. Like, as this is airing, we'll see.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Like, people might be listening to this and be like, how mad is Welsh right now? But that's the one I'm going with. I'm going to take Bog. Like, you, and it's a great article. You can, it's on Betting Pros, right?
Yeah, Betting Pros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Betting Pros.
Bogman's, you guys can, best bets.
Bogman, we should,
and I'll tweet it too at Bogman Sports. You'll be,
we should also post that article on Patreon just so it's like right to people as well. I like the mortal lock of Bogman. That's what I lock into, and you can check that out. But it's a impressive record.
Did I tell you that when we were texting last night, you asked me like mortal lock, and I brought up this whole thing, and I sent it to Bubba instead of you for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it was like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Bubba gets a text from me. You know, which is funny because Bubba and I had just stopped recording stuff at that time for Line Star. But, you know, I woke up this morning and I see and I look to see if you've texted me, and it's just you asking Mortal Lock. I'm like, I sent like a whole thing back.
I know. And I got like a bunch of texts later. So that all makes sense.
Yeah. And then, you know, I text Bubba. I'm like, my bad. That was supposed to go to Chris. And he's like, yeah, I was wondering why you were so, you know, into telling me about UCLA at midnight. So, you know,
well, that's where I'm locking in for Boggs here. So, I mean, that may be our lanes, college football for you, and we'll see how I do with player props, but we may talk about that at the end of the episode. I've created a sheet to kind of track. We'll see how much I put on all of them, but it's some of my favorites of the weeks. And last week was not the lines, but we will be talking about that. And we are going, I mean, I guarantee, this is a guarantee I have, Boggs, you and I will have better records on both sides in week two than week one.
You can't get worse.
Cannot get worse. Yeah, not even mention the number. That's why I guarantee it. That's a,
you flip
guarantee.
Coins and you'll get better. So
yeah. You know what? I do like
I'm not far behind you, by the way. I'm definitely not bragging about my week, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it was rough.
You just do the thing where it's like you put two teams there and then just like let your dog go and go over to one. And like, that's the one. I'll pick that one. That's how you pick your teams. That could have been better, guaranteed better this week. On the other side of the break, when we come back, we are going to pretty quickly here get to, we're going to start with week two, go through all the games, not the Thursday game, of course. We do want to talk about a few interesting news and notes, because there is the obvious one head coach that is already creating some turmoil. There is a coordinator for another team. Both of these guys are rumored to potentially take the USC job. And there is, you already knew that there was an issue at running back. But it's not the San Francisco situation we're talking about. It's a potential four-headed monster on a team that, God, you don't want that because of the cheap options that were out there and some of the loser running backs that are there. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to get to our week two betting. Don't go anywhere in this league. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
It is In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh on Twitter at Is It The Welsh at Bogman Sports. Week two bets coming up here in just a little bit. Before anything else, let's talk about a few of the weird NFL things going on. The weirdest one of the week, I don't comprehend it. And maybe I should pull up because I know he was asked about this. So the USC job opened up real quick. It only took, what did it take, 2 weeks, 1 week for USC to get, what was the loss too? Because it was like, I saw people mortal locking USC to win.
It was to Stanford.
Stanford, that's what it was. They got their ass beat by Stanford. Yes,
Stanford is rough right now. And that's, I keep asking my guy Nick on CFP Winning Edge. I'm like, is David Shaw, like, is he on the hot seat? He's like, I think he has the safest job in the country at Stanford because, you know, they have tough academic standards and all that stuff. But they lost to Kansas State week one, 24-7. And Kansas State is a decent team, but they're a middle of the road Big 12 team. And you shouldn't be losing to them if you're Stanford. So they got stomped 24-7. They had nothing on offense, couldn't compete with Kansas State. And then they beat USC and put up 42 points on them. And, our boy Will, I think, or maybe it was Aaron in our ITL college football group me room, mentioned that they were just waiting for something to happen to fire Helton. And that's clearly what it was. Like, as soon as he made his first big mistake, they were done. The only reason he stuck around for so long is because, the boosters really like him. So the people that give money like a guy, he's going to have a little bit of a longer leash, but their performances have been bad. And at USC, it's been terrible since Pete Carroll left. They've had over the last 8 years, they've had four interim head coaches. That means during the season, they fired their coach 50% of the time since Pete Carroll left. It's just absurd.
And, I'll tell you, dude, what is so odd, I mean, USC is they're one of those places. It's like Texas. Like, you're not going to lose. You lose one big game and you're done. You know, there's some, right, a couple of those places. But what is fascinating is immediately the conversation is on replacements. And the most likely one, which I think is fantastic because I'm still shocked he didn't get a head coaching gig, is Eric Bieniemy's name came up because he said that was one of the very few places he would consider. And Bieniemy needs it. And I think this for him, if he were to take it, would be the perfect situation because he obviously, like, he needs a head coaching experience. It's the only thing that's holding him back. So if he goes and, becomes a head coach at one of the biggest, one of the biggest college football teams, that's the thing where his next move isn't going to be like a lateral offensive court. It's a head coaching job. Like, there's only one more situation that he would go to. But Urban Meyer's name gets thrown in, and it is the same craziness as USC getting out as early as they did, that he's got one NFL game under his belt this season with the Jaguars. Looked awful. Does not know how to use James Robinson. It looks inept. And I think the craziness of how bad he was combined with how, fluid he is with changing his mind, Urban Meyer's name came up as a possibility to take over as the head coach. And it's a wild one. And here was his most recent response, by the way, when asked about it. You guys aren't going to be able to see it. Hear his words, but Bogman, watch his body language when he's asked about the USC gig in a press conference on, I believe this was on Wednesday.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job.
Kind of quiet.
Give you the opportunity to refute it. So you put it to bed.
No chance.
Said no chance.
He's staring.
Well, that's just the worst audio. I don't know if
it's real bad. I mean, he's mumbling. But basically, he said there's no chance. And I saw what he said. He's committed to Jacksonville and all that stuff. So.
See this one better?
Yesterday, connecting you to the USC.
It's a little louder.
Just want to give you the opportunity to refute it. So you put it to bed.
No chance. I'm
committed, blah blah blah. Okay, so I mean, I don't know why,
but he's staring at his
apparently
feet.
Apparently, there's
when
no microphones. You know what? He should be gone because there's no microphones at all in a Jacksonville press conference. So he should go. Why is there no microphone to pick that up? And his body language, you can also hear. He like puts his head down. He puts his hands in his pockets, and he's like, "Well, golly gee, there's just I'm committed to here." And it's like you're not gonna be committed too long when you're 0-5 and you've got the number one pick and everybody hates you.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was a rough week one, but even people that didn't like the Urban Meyer hire, myself included, I didn't get it. I don't understand. Like the guy, the one thing I said was there might actually be less pressure to win in the NFL in Jacksonville than there is at Ohio State.
I don't even think that's a might, dude. I think that's 100%. Yeah. I mean, well, our guy Josh in here brings up an interesting point with Bieniemy saying he'd be awesome, but what happens if he fails? Well, you're right. If he fails, then he is destined to be an offensive coordinator. But if you have
then the Arizona Cardinals will hire him to be their head coach. I mean, yeah, that's exactly maybe what they did with Cliff Kingsbury. He failed at Texas Tech. So let's hire him to be a head coach in the NFL. You know,
it's a good point. But with those teams, the Ohio States, the Texas, the USC's and stuff, you're right. Like the pressure is on even more because there's a lot more collective hands on with boosters and blah, 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 that you can't last that much longer. But I just thought it was weird seeing after one game an NFL coach be put into it, but also not only his little mumbly, like, no, we're committed. Like, of course you're not going to say anything else, but he seemed really weird. He seemed very uncomfortable about the whole process. Urban Meyer's a weird dude.
I think he hates it. I honestly think he wants to coach in Jacksonville. I honestly think he wants to be in Florida, and I think he wants to live out his days in Florida. I mean, there was, I can't remember who said it, but to me, it was just such an unbelievably good point of him loving Florida, but he left the Gators in such a weird way that pissed off so many people in Florida that he couldn't go back there and like live out the rest of his life. You know what I mean? Because he's just going to be getting a hard time. So I think going to Jacksonville might be his apology to Florida. Like, please let me live here in peace. You know what I mean? But if he went back to college after, you know, five games, which is, look, Saban did this bit, you know, and he was terrible at Miami and then went back to Alabama. Now he's the best head coach in college football history. So, and Urban Meyer's not, you know, Saban's age. He's younger than that, but he's already had health stuff, which is what surprised me the most out of anything. As that you're going to quit Ohio State and cite health reasons and then go coach in the NFL after that. The NFL with, you know, there's at least more cameras on you. The season's longer. The hours are probably longer as well. And I don't know. You know, you can't recruit players in the NFL. It's a whole different animal.
Like, it's not going to happen here, but I don't think it's off the – I wouldn't take the cards off the table that this doesn't happen in a different situation.
If they don't hire Bieniemy and the job is open, like you said, at the end of this season, right?
Urban Meyer's gone.
Urban Meyer. Well, I think there's one of two things that are going to happen. Either he's going to quit Jacksonville and go to USC, or he's just going to quit Jacksonville and retire. Like, I don't see him staying in Jacksonville for a 2-15 record.
You know? What was the dude? Who was that? He was like the ASU football head coach, the guy that like
Dennis Erickson.
No, it wasn't Dennis Erickson. He's the guy that just leaves jobs after like
Todd Graham.
Todd Graham. Yeah, Todd Graham. Yeah. Like, you can't look at yourself, because didn't Todd Graham leave Rice like after like two games or something like that? Or
it was Hawaii. He went from ASU to Hawaii. I don't even know where he is now.
No, but I want to say even like he left like immediately to go to ASU. Like, that's a Todd Graham move. You can't play one game in the NFL and then leave that job and look at yourself in the mirror. Anyone take you seriously? That's why it's not going to happen. But I thought it was such a weird troll, and he was really weird about it. One other weird one,
I guess he still is at Hawaii, but he just started there last year. From 2012 to 2017, he is with Arizona State, and then he took 3 years off, coached Hawaii last year. 2011, he was Pittsburgh.
It was going to ASU. 2010,
he was Tulsa. 2006, he was Rice. I mean, it was like 3-4 years. He had four different jobs.
Yeah, he's like you can't be the Todd Graham of it. The other weird situation that's out there in the NFL, because I think that one is weird, and I also wonder how much that's going to loom over this weekend. It could go both ways. It could be, you know, Urban Meyer trying to like, you know, just plow on and big offense to show how good he is, or I kind of think it could be carrying over with him. The other weird one is John Harbaugh. After Tyson Williams looked really good, we saw Tyson Williams then lose carries to Latavius Murray. Comes out.
Lactavius Murray.
Listen to the football pod. Yeah, exactly. Lactavius. We then find out, and he says that they are going to run a four-back system as they promoted Devontae Freeman as they wait for Lev Bell to be good to go. And he says there is no chance Tyson is going to be the number one guy. He said that NFL is dead. and all of the guys are going to get a run, which absolutely decimates the idea of who in God's name is going to be valuable in Baltimore on a week in, a week out.
I mean, it makes none of them valuable. And it also lets none of them get into a rhythm. I agree that you can't have one running back in the NFL unless that running back's name is Derrick Henry. You can't have one anymore.
Sure.
But
you can have two. You can Jamal Williams and John Smith is the way to do it. You do.
I would say
two
guys. You can't have four. I would not have hold four. Firm to that. That you
there's
cannot.
No rhythm. There is a getting into the rhythm of a game thing that happens with some of these guys. Unless you have the best offensive line and the best scheming possible, that's what the Niners got with Raheem Mostert. Is the holes would be open and you just run fast and hit it. There's no rhythm. And guess who needs rhythm? Lev Bell needs rhythm. He's going to be trashed. Devontae Freeman is average. Tyson Williams is the best athlete there. And Latavius Murray has got the, I think, the best, most recent successful experience. I worry that they're running. I think, Boggs, Lamar Jackson is going to have 400 more rushing yards than the next highest rusher in Baltimore.
It would not shock me at all. If that happened. That's a great point.
Fantasy is going to be brutal. And if Tyson Williams has a big week this week, I might potentially look to try to trade him off before they screw the situation up anymore. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we are going to start up our week two picks. Spreads over unders. Can't be much worse than last week. We're going up to the moon, guys.
Moving on up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
It's Bogman Welsh. It is pick'em time. NFL week two. We're not gonna talk about how last week went. This wasn't good. It wasn't good. But from here on out, can we do this, Box?
No.
Can we delete week one and start fresh from right now, so our records represent, we don't count to, we'll have two records.
We'll
have the post week one record and we'll have the all record, because it was bad last week. And like I said, I think it was 75% of dogs covered on it, and it was brutal.
And we're also giving you every single game. We're not giving you every game we would bet, because those are different animals.
And to that point, the only games I bet last week, I bet the over in Baltimore, which I loved. I'm trying to remember what the hell else I actually put. I bet the Niners, which gave me a heart attack. And I put a bunch of money on the Niners. That's why the whole them coming back by 8. I had luckily got the Niners at 7.5. I took them early. Had you taken them close to game time, you got screwed. But the Niners 7.5 paid me. Baltimore paid me. And I think I was probably on like what I actually bet. I think I was 2-2 of what I actually put money on. So there's a confidence level of what we like. And probably as we go, I will, and maybe you can do the same, identify ones that we would actually feel super comfortable about.
Right,
because there
right.
are a couple this week that I have already laid down that I'm very comfortable with. And we will dictate that. And then moving forward, we'll tell you the records and stuff like that. So don't worry about don't you worry about last week, that crazy week one. Focus on the player props. And remember, Bogman college record, and I was perfect on Monday. Let's focus on that. Only focus on that. All right. So let's jump into this. Week two, we are going to kick off. Did you double check all the lines? Because you know how those suckers like to move.
Yeah. Look, if you we're recording this on Thursday, and
yes. the and they will move a Saturday. Little bit.
So yeah. So yeah. I don't think it really matters. So
it doesn't really, really matter. Right. But just
No, I did not double check any of them. So
okay. Well, they already have moved. So on FanDuel, I'm going to give you a new line. We're going Denver at Jacksonville, and this is actually an interesting development there, Boggs. The line you had was Denver -6. It has now changed to Denver -5.5 So plus 5.5 for Jacksonville. The over is still the same, 45.5. So Denver at Jacksonville with a half point moving in favor of
the Broncos.
Of the Broncos, yeah.
Or actually of Jacksonville.
Technically, yeah, that means
because it moved towards Jacksonville. Yeah,
exactly. That's why I confused myself there for a second.
This, I just don't know how you can trust Jacksonville. So I don't know why there's money coming in on them right now. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I guess because
do you have the public money? Are you
Denver? Yeah, I can look that up. Denver, just doesn't, they don't inspire a lot of confidence, I would say, you know, but Jacksonville was so god awful. Yeah, I mean, just the overwhelming majority of the money is still in on the Broncos. So,
like, what's the percentage range?
70% towards Denver. You know, so 73% of bets are still in on Denver. So, I like the Broncos in this game. Jacksonville just doesn't have it at all. I know losing Jerry Jeudy sucks. It does, but the good thing for Denver here is that they still have good pass catchers in Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, KJ Hamler now gets to take a bigger role. Tim Patrick scored a touchdown last week as well. So, you know, I know they lost a corner too in Ronald Darby, but I think Surtain is going to be better stepping up. And look, I expect Jacksonville to play better. I don't expect them to get stomped like they did against Houston, but I like Denver in this game, even going on the road here. And I know that's a long road trip for them too, but they're going to be able to dominate in the trenches on both sides. Von Miller is going to eat up that offensive line for lunch. Bradley Chubb has a chance to play in this game. We'll see. But I like Denver in this game. And this one I am fairly confident in. So I'll take Denver. And I love that the line moved towards Jacksonville. So I like Denver. And I like the over in this game. I think, you know, it's 45.5. I think, you know, that is a, you know, 27-21 game gets you there. So on both fronts. So I will absolutely take Denver.
I agree. I agree on a couple fronts here. I agree that this is Denver. I don't know how you take Jacksonville. I don't care about anything at home. There's no argument that you can make to me that's going to change that. I mean, I think Urban Meyer is a disaster. The game plan looked bad. They're going to rely on Carlos Hyde and not James Robinson. I mean, maybe that's going to change this week. I do like the pass catchers there. I love Marvin Jones, and I like that. I just don't see the efficiency there yet. Lawrence also made some dumb, boneheaded decisions, and there's a much better defense that's out there. As far as Denver, after week one, is essentially a top 15 defense. They were fourth in running, and they're 16th against the pass. They give it the 16th, you know, least passing yards or most, however you want
to play it. They played the Giants, though.
They played the Giants, sure.
Take that with a grain of salt, you know.
Yeah, and you can take all of that. But, you know, here's the thing is they're decently solid against the run. They only gave up 60 rushing yards against the Giants, so we can do that. And I just don't see Jacksonville being incredibly efficient. It's interesting why I still don't understand why the line moved. They're ranked fourth in rushing, but I think that's a misnomer because they had 165 yards, but 70 of them were from Melvin Gordon on that one run. And I don't think that's going to be there, but that's also why I don't particularly like, I don't like the over, even though I know Jacksonville ranked relatively bad, you know, bottom 20th range as far as pass defense goes. And I know they were actually top 10 in passing just from playing behind. But I don't really like efficiency on either sides of these. And I think both teams are going to attempt to establish the run.
You see DJ Chark had 12 targets and 3 catches.
Yeah. I mean, but that was also Trevor Lawrence. If you watch some of that game, you love Teddy Bridgewater in this game. So I'm not surprised why you like the over. I like Denver. And by the way, just pointing out, FanDuel Sportsbook is where you're getting a little bit more of the juice, because I know why you're saying plus it's -6 in other spots still in some of the other books. So it's -5.5 for Denver. Give me the -5.5, but I'm going to take the under, even though Trevor Lawrence is playing from behind. I think both teams are going to work hard to try to establish the run. Denver lost Jerry Jeudy. I think they're going to try early on. I like Javonte Williams a lot in this game. I think it's going to be early on Melvin Gordon and Javonte, but I think Urban Meyer is going to attempt to alter the game plan to not put it as much on Trevor Lawrence early in the game. And I think it could lead to, you know, you might get some early touchdowns, but I think the score is going to get bogged down. So I like the under. I like Denver and the under on this one, but we're both taking Denver -5.5. Next game up, Houston at Cleveland. I believe, Boggs, this is the biggest line of the week, if I'm remembering correctly. -12.5 in favor of Cleveland. The over-under is 47.5. I haven't double-checked it yet on FanDuel, but I don't believe that that has moved any bit. Let's see. No, 12.5. Nope, it's all still good. So Cleveland, 12.5 at home against Houston.
Look, I hate big lines here, but I think Cleveland needs a win. You know, they need a win for sure. I think Houston, you know, they look great. I know Cully was celebrating and all that stuff, but they play Jacksonville, who had Urban Meyer. We just got done bashing Jacksonville and their, you know, just everything there. And I don't want to kill Urban Meyer too much after his first NFL game, but I'm not confident in him moving forward. So in this game, I just think Cleveland dominates this. This is a game where I think Houston attempts to come back, which they weren't doing at all last week. And that is where you see teams like Houston make their mistakes. Guys like Tyrod Taylor make some mistakes. Tyrod Taylor is usually pretty safe with the ball, but I think you could see a lot of three and outs here. Cleveland's defense is good. They played Kansas City week one, and Kansas City wasn't in midseason form. They had the lead on them for most of that game. KC had to come back fast and furious in the second half to win that game. So I think this is going to be a upsetting game if you are a Houston Texans fan. So I got Cleveland stomping Houston. I'll take the under here too, because I think Cleveland wins and then runs the ball a lot in the second half. So I think this to me is like a, you know, 28-10, something in that range, maybe 28-13, somewhere around there. So give me Cleveland in a walk here and the under.
I'm going to go with the under with you as well, but I will say, I think if we are, I kind of feel opposite. I think if we're hitting the under, that is saying that this is a closer game. I think if we're hitting the over, this is Cleveland just absolutely routing, because if they do, Houston is going to be slinging the ball. I'm actually going to take Houston +12.5 here.
Bubba did too. Yeah.
I think Cleveland's going to win. I have no doubt Cleveland's going to win, but I think even everybody, not just me, clearly I underestimated this team. Tyrod Taylor is efficient. They've got a three-back system that they really like managed well, and they do have some receivers, and they got, you know, like they've got pieces to be a decent team. If Deshaun Watson was on this team, that line would not be 12.5. It probably might not be more than, you know, 7.5 or something like that. But that's kind of my point. I'm not sure Tyrod Taylor is that much worse in a situation like this. I agree Cleveland needs a win, but I think it's going to be big established run. There's still no Odell Beckham Jr. And that's why, you know, I'm with that under, because I think there's a run establishment, but I think Houston is going to be able to keep foot a little bit. That 12.5 points is a big line that I'm going to take Houston on that one. And, you know, I don't know if, one I would bet is the Denver 5.5. I'm not sure my confidence level in this one, but 12.5 is a lot of points. If I were feeling frisky and I wanted to play like a nice big old parlay just for some fun, I would definitely be taking Houston +12.5.
I can't. So here's the thing. I am more than fine with anyone taking Houston. I think there are a lot of people that set a line in the NFL at 10 and say, I will never go with the double digit line ever. I completely understand that. My thing here is that I think we overestimated Jacksonville more than we underestimated Houston. I still think this roster is bad. I think Cleveland's still one of the best teams in the NFL, even though they lost last week. We might have overestimated Buffalo. Buffalo didn't look good at all. But I think that, so for me, this might be it takes 2 weeks to find out if Houston really has something, or if Jacksonville is just really bad. So for me, my confidence level on this game is fairly low, but I do like Cleveland to beat this line, and I will stick with the under there.
And you and I both are dictating, like, we're both not really confident in it.
Right.
You know, like, where the Denver 5.5 feels a lot better. I'm still not sure I would put that, like, if I had three tiers of betting here, and I would have, like, confidence locks, feeling good, and not so sure. The Denver one is actually the feeling good, and the Houston Cleveland is I'm not so sure. Neither one of these are in like lock territory for me real quick. We're going to go to break here in just a couple minutes. When we come back, we've got a big old set of games. We're actually going to be coming to the end of the hour here. And I want to look and see, what was the line last week on dogs? What was the actual? Because I felt like we were both pretty heavy, and it's still so early in the season, you know, going against favorites versus dogs and whatnot. What was the dog line last week? Because I feel like it was 11-4 or something like that, heavily in favor. Not that you want to let that put heavy consideration. Do you have it?
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
In front of me.
We'll look at it on the break. We come back, we got a short segment, and we'll extend this into hour two. So if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you bust up that hour two for all the rest of our picks right here on In This League. Check us out on Twitter, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports, and our Patreon if you're looking for week one plays, looking for some DFS and any of the other fun stuff. We also have a betting group me room. You can check that out. Come and sign up and join us. Otherwise, stick around. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
It has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Really? It's In This League. Back. Final segment of hour one. It's Bogman and the Welsh doing all of our week two picks. And Bogman, you did the numbers during the break. We were talking about how the dogs really took week one and screwed a lot. What was the overall record?
10-6 for underdogs last week. And some of those won straight up. I mean, Houston won straight up. Vegas won straight up. Miami won straight up. New Orleans won straight up. Pittsburgh won straight up. Cincinnati won straight up. The Cardinals won straight up. Philly won straight up. I mean, most of the Chargers.
That's 8 of 10. That's 8 of 10.
And the Chargers. That's 9.
So what was the one team that was that just got their points?
Cleveland.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. So 9 of 10 straight money line cashes, and one was just on the plus. That is a wild number. That's
it's nuts.
That's a wild number. Which you also know in the back of your head, there's kind of that like, well, that can't happen this week. So I got to hold there.
Okay.
So you got to be careful about it. You got to be careful about it when you're doing it. When we come back, we've only got two games in. Hour two, we're going to get all the rest of our games. Maybe some we'll see where we're at. But DFS and even some props are on the line. So don't go anywhere. In This League, week two picks coming up.